Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. October 19th is the date of our provincial election, and as voting day nears, CICK News is speaking to candidates from across the three electoral ridings of our coverage areas, Bulkley Valley-Stikine, North Coast-Haida Gwaii, and Skeena. Today, I'm sharing my interview with Sarah Zimmerman, the Skeena riding candidate running for the NDP. This is Sarah's second time running in a provincial election, and I spoke to her from her office in Terrace.
It's not my first kick at the can. I did put my name forward in 2016. At that point in time, there was four people seeking the nomination, and I was new to the party, so I wasn't successful in that quest to become the candidate, but it really laid the groundwork for me to want to do more in the public service and get more involved with the BC NDP. And so in the intervening 7 years, I've really done a lot of work on multiple campaigns. And in the interim, was elected to Terrace City Council in 2022. And the 2 years of work that I've done at municipal level really solidified to me that my heart is really in public service and being able to represent our people. And I wanted to bring that up to the provincial level. So I'm really grateful that I was able to get the nomination. And I've been working really hard for the last 10 months to build a great team here in Skeena. And we're hitting the ground running.
So Premier EB and the provincial NDP have made some very large promises to the residents of this province regarding healthcare, housing, and homelessness as well. I'm wondering if we can talk turkey on a couple of these promises and how you plan to work with or interpret these promises for Northern BC.
Yeah, sure.
So first up is healthcare. So obviously we're not unique, but our healthcare system in BC is overburdened due to understaffing, emergency room closures, residents without a doctor. And I'm wondering how you plan to tackle the ever-growing needs for doctors for Skeena residents.
When I talk about healthcare, this is one of the biggest talks that I'm hearing from people on a doorstep. And when I'm in communities, whether it's in Kincolith or Kitimat or Terrace, and certainly we all know that there's been a lot of struggle with the healthcare system. I had no family doctor for quite some time. Just in the last year, our family got a nurse practitioner who's been wonderful and has been able to address most of our healthcare needs in a timely manner. And I'm hearing on the doorstep that more doctors are coming into Terrace and people are being connected with family doctors. That tells me that some of the recruitment efforts that Northern Health and the BC NDP government have been investing in are starting to work. If I were elected, I would continue to work with the government to carry on those really important recruitment efforts. I think when we're in the north, we have to recruit differently than in urban areas. We have some of the most spectacular outdoor areas, ski hills, cross-country skiing, world-class mountain biking. Those kinds of lifestyle benefits are a big part of why many physicians and nurses want to come to places like Skeena in the first place. So I think finding creative ways to recruit, offering financial incentives that the BC government has done, is starting to work. They've increased financial incentives for physicians and nurses and also for frontline staff. So I think we have to keep doing that. I think if we don't continue on the recruitment and retention piece, that we will not be able to fill those spaces. And I really worry that a conservative government will come in and make cuts. We know that's their track record. Consistently, conservative governments come in and cut healthcare. So when I think about somebody like John Rustad coming in, he's talked about reducing healthcare funding to below 11% GDP, and that adds up to about over $4 billion in cuts. And that means firing nurses. That means firing frontline staff. And I think if that's what we end up with, we're going to see more ER closures. We're going to see less people being connected with doctors, and we're going to have a really hard time staffing our hospitals.
What are your thoughts on Premier EB's recent involuntary care program under the Mental Health Act? For our listeners, it is a program that would be very effective from the offset to have people who are suffering from mental health and also opioid
use addiction in facilities. However, the involuntary care plan has also been criticized as just being a quick way to, quote, clean up the streets. And I'm wondering, do you support the movement to put people into a facility under the guise of mental health when people have addiction problems? Or what are your thoughts on this involuntary care program?
Yeah, I've heard this a new program that was rolled out just a couple of weeks ago. And I can tell you that this kind of a program doesn't come quickly. There's been science-based research that has been determined to move forward based on the advice of world-class doctors and psychiatrists. And I think it's it's intended for a very small group of people that are causing a lot of chaos on our streets, to be frank, around the province, but also who are living often on the street, who often have hundreds of contacts with healthcare workers and or police, who are suffering from severe mental health issues and brain injury and an opioid addiction. So this is a very specific group of people. And we have to remember that involuntary care already does happen in British Columbia under the Mental Health Act. And I don't think that this has been developed in order to just clean up the streets. I really reject that kind of a notion. I think this is a dignified and compassionate way of approaching care for people that fit a very specific criteria that might also be a danger to themselves and others. And I've lived in a neighborhood where we had an emergency shelter. And so I got to see from everyday experience that the hurt and pain that people are experiencing when they have those three conditions. And I don't think that languishing on the street without medical support is compassionate or dignified. So will this work? I don't know. But I think it's one tool in the toolbox to address the many issues that we are seeing, particularly in places like Terrace, where we're a regional hub for services. And we know that we have the second highest rate of opioid deaths in the province, second only to the downtown east side in Vancouver. And so I see that on a regular basis. And we have to remember, too, there's people who are also suffering that aren't living on the street with opioid addiction. And those people deserve dignified and compassionate care as well.
I do want to move on next to just the housing needs in the north here. So the NDP have promised 500,000 new homes for BC residents and also just recently released a 40% financing plan for middle-class new homeowners and new home buyers. However, as we know, things like land use, zoning, and finding contractors to build homes is quite difficult for Northerners. How would you represent the housing needs for Skeena residents on a provincial scale?
I think I'm going to just point to the record of the BC NDP on this one. And we've actually seen quite a bit of investment in housing over the last 7 years. And I dare say more than we've seen in any 7 year period prior to that. Some of the changes that the BC NDP has put into place is making meaningful impact in communities. I look around Terrace and I'm watching a 42 unit seniors housing building being built. It's also being built on top of the Foundry facility, which is provides services for youth mental health and addictions. So we're finding unique ways to work with BC Housing and service providers locally to be able to develop really critical services, but also provide innovative housing where it's needed. And I'm hearing from a lot of seniors and their families on the doorstep that they might be living in a 2,500 square foot house, but they really want to downsize their empty nesters. They might be widowed and they have a lot of house for one person, but there's not enough reasonable housing to move into on the market. Houses like their homes like this are really critical. We saw transition houses built in Kitimat. A 24-hour daycare is on its way. More supportive housing in a variety of different places, and housing starts in Kitsilux and the Nass Valley. So I think across Skeena, we're really seeing that investment. You did ask about land use zoning, and as a Terrace city councillor, I know how hard our staff worked to accommodate the rezoning of properties to allow secondary suites. But listen, I think in the north, we're not going to see the same kind of quick uptake on those programs that might put undue strain on utilities. I think we're going to see slow, methodical changes happening. And I think many people are actually excited to be able to create secondary suites that create revenue for their families, but also creates new housing stock in small communities where it's desperately needed. I think the thing that we need to be very worried about is that under John Rustad's government, he's suggesting that there is no place for government in providing housing. And I think when you look at the hundreds of housing units that have been created in Skeena, it's a stark contrast between the BC NDP and the BC Conservatives. One of us, our team, cares about people and understands the importance of having safe homes for people to get back on their feet and be able to take part in the economy and create safe places for their homes and their families. And a leader of a party that doesn't have a real plan when it comes to housing and hasn't been able to explain how they would create housing stock for people. And in fact, doesn't believe that it's the role of government to invest in housing for people. So it's a stark contrast on the housing front. And I don't think it's something that we can afford to risk in this upcoming election.
There remains growing resistance to the approved Prince Rupert Gas Transmission or PRGT pipeline by Indigenous leaders from across the Northwest. And they have stated their support for legal action against the project. Yet, the PRGT will move forward if BC's Environment Minister determines that enough work has begun on the pipeline by November 25th, which is coming up very quickly, validating their current environmental approval. My question for you, Sarah, is do you support the PRGT project? And how will you best represent your constituents on this divisive matter?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge that this is one of the toughest issues that we have facing us in the Northwest in terms of finding that balance between a resource economy, the rights of Indigenous people, and the rights to be able to assert one's opinions about these issues. Now, I think firstly, we have to acknowledge you're absolutely right that this is currently before the Environmental Assessment Office and the minister is going to have to make a determination. I don't think it's the right place for me to say yes or no. I can't influence that kind of governmental, that body. But listen, one of the things that I've always prided myself on is the ability to bring people together and the importance of communities coming together over tough issues to have conversation, to sit at the table together, and to try to steward these tough issues forward together. I think that we need to recognize that the BC NDP is committed to things like DRIPA. They are committed to working with Indigenous communities. And we have John Rustad saying that he doesn't think that's important, that working with Indigenous communities under DRIPA isn't something that he would support. I worry about what that looks like for Indigenous communities across the province if we were to end up with a BC Conservative government. I think that there will be economic development around resources or proposed projects around resources in the Northwest, and they are going to have to meet stringent environmental requirements and meet the five conditions of those projects going forward. So there's still work to be done there. But what I would commit to do is trying to facilitate ways for people to come together and find peaceful ways forward.
Okay. Last question for you, Sarah Zimmerman, is why should the residents of Skeena Riding vote for you?
Oh, wow. Listen, I think from Skeena's perspective, there's a stark contrast between myself and the BC NDP and the BC Conservatives in this riding. I strongly believe in advocating for healthcare. I am proud to have been on a council that has stood up for wild salmon and talked about them. Too much of a bycatch happening in Alaskan waters and trying to protect our wild salmon. I've advocated for housing. I've worked with local housing providers to advocate for services like the Foundry and at the seniors housing. My work on city council has been an amazing experience to represent my constituents. I like the fun work of engaging in community, but I relish the challenge of being able to make hard decisions on behalf of constituents. And I think that's the delicate balance that people who are representatives, whether it be provincial, municipal, or federal, is that you're always looking for the best way to steward our resources, our finances forward for the best outcomes for people. And I'm really proud of the work that the BC NDP has done on the housing front. We have a $600 million regional hospital opening in Terrace. We've got more doctors being hired and coming to this area. There's a commitment to ensuring that other hospitals in the region are also staffed up. So the BC NDP's plan is working, and I want to be a part of the team that continues that good work and make sure that we are turning around some of those negative trends in healthcare and housing, and that we continue to invest in communities. And I just think with a BC Conservative government, we're going to see cuts to healthcare. We're going to see worsening ER waits. We're going to see the firing of nurses, the ripping up of contracts. The same goes for housing. If government doesn't have a role to play in housing, we're in real trouble. And certainly on the environment front, for leader of a party to just this week say that he thought that climate action is a plot to starve people and reduce the world's population, we're in real trouble. We need to have a leader that is going to take climate change seriously, that's going to discount conspiracy theories and focus on evidence-based research to make the best decisions that we can to steward our province forward. And I'm proud to be part of that team. And that's why I would hope that people in Skeena vote for me and that they know that I show up, that I have a 24-year record of volunteering in the community, working for our community, engaging in coalition building, and I'll bring that to this seat as well.
Thank you so much for this interview today and for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to speak to CSEK News.
Okay, thank you so much.
Coming up this weekend in Smithers is a Chamber of Commerce event called Candidating, where small groups of people have 5 minutes with each candidate for Bulkley Valley Stikine to ask their questions. In attendance will be NDP incumbent Nathan Cullen, Conservative candidate Sharon Hartwell, Christian Heritage Party candidate Rod Taylor, and BC Green Party's candidate Wilhelm Marsden. That event is October 5th at the Smithers Public Library from 4:30 until 6 p.m. Then on Tuesday, October 8th, is the All Candidates Debate held at the Della Herman Theatre in Smithers, with doors opening and coffee with the candidates from 6:30 until 7:30, and the forum will be held from 7:30 until 9 p.m. A live stream of the event will be on Facebook Live, and be sure to go to the Smithers Chamber of Commerce Facebook page to find the link.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CSEK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.